Sorted Digital Ramblings Podcast, brought to you by Click Through Marketing.
Hello, you're listening to episode 15 of the Assorted Digital Ramblings podcast, where once a month, myself, Chris, and my co-host Olivia sit down with a guest to discuss the ever-evolving world of digital marketing. This month, however, it's Christmas and we're guestless, and we're going to trudge back through the mess that has been 2022 and review how the year has had an impact on the marketing industry. But before we do so, how are you, Liv? What have you been up to?
Hello, I am good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, yeah. You been up to anything fun?
It's been my birthday. You're
in Liverpool, haven't you? Yeah, so yeah. Been in Liverpool.
How I don't really want to talk about it because now I'm a year older and I'm not young anymore.
We had this discussion in the office, didn't we? You're not a youth anymore.
No, I'm not. I'm literally, I can feel it. I really, really feel it.
You're edging ever closer to being too old for Leonardo DiCaprio now as well.
Oh, no. To be fair, I'm far too fat for him anyway, so I've got no chance. But
you got 3 years to get that in.
Is it 25? I thought it was 24.
Oh, I don't know. You've just shortened your window even more.
Maybe.
I was giving you an extra year.
Do you know what? I don't think I'm actually not that keen on Leo.
You're not?
No. I don't think so. I'm trying to think he would rather.
Same.
Yeah, probably. I can't be surprised that he wouldn't be too impressed by me either, but we'd have a language gap, wouldn't we? Because he wouldn't be able to understand a word I'm saying.
No, who's your favourite celebrity? Who's your celebrity crush?
Oh, God, I've got so many. My constant is Greg Wallace from Taskmaster In Between Us.
Really?
Yeah, I love him. I just really love him. I don't know why. Okay. I just love him. And then it changes all the time. So, like, at the minute, it's Jude Bellingham. I know he's a bit young, but he's not too young. It's not illegal. So before anyone comes for me, it's not. And I'm only 22, so it wouldn't even be that bad. But, yeah. I always say, what about you? But I know that you're... I don't know celebrities.
No, I don't really. Although, as I asked you the question, I was thinking, what would my answer be? There is one. I'm a big fan of Rachel Riley.
Oh, from Countdown?
Of Countdown, yeah.
Have you seen the state of Carol Vorderman? Sorry, that was a nasty way to say.
I know, and I was going to say something, and I thought, you know what, that's not appropriate to say on here. So we'll swiftly move on to Carol Vorderman, and we're doing the year in review, but for some reason we're going back to front because that's the order Regan's written our notes in, isn't it? So point number one, Winter World Cup. Have you enjoyed it? Have you got into it?
I have. Up until when England went out, and then I got actually like really sad and I just couldn't care about it anymore. I think I'll watch the... Final people in it?
It's France, Argentina. I don't know what day the final is. It's either... I lost all interest. I didn't have much interest when England are in, and I lost all interest when England are out.
Yeah.
Just felt wrong, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Who was... were you in the sweepstake? Who's your sweepstake team?
Freaking Senegal. They didn't even have Mane. They weren't that bad. Could have had Qatar. Who did you have?
You might. Yeah, but did they get worst team at least? Qatar.
Yeah,
I had
Iran,
and I thought I've got a chance of winning worst team here. But Senegal, you might as well just throw your fiver out the window, aren't you?
And the thing is, we didn't pay our money before they got announced, so like I already knew that I was just like saying goodbye to our fiver, and I was fuming.
Yeah, it feels really hard giving the money over when you know you've got like Canada. You know, just throw it away. There's always a couple of overachievers, isn't there? Japan and Morocco. I mean, Morocco particularly this time. I think it's the best performance from an African country ever. Do you think when teams overperform, do you think it has an impact on like spending and like the state of the nation? There's a communal feeling of goodwill when your national team's performing well. Does that make you more likely to spend money, do you think?
Oh, 100% think so. Definitely. I know that when we were in the World Cup, last World Cup, which was what? Was that 6 years ago? Or 4 years ago? Because of COVID.
It'd be four a bit years, wouldn't it, I think?
Yeah. But I remember that.
Summer.
Yeah, because I used to work at a sports bar, and well, it was sort of like, it wasn't a well-known sports bar by any means, but like people that went in there, you had like Spurs fans and then you had Wolves fans and they all just seemed to hate each other. But like we were playing, do you know what? I can't even remember. This is how well, how much I was paying attention. But everyone was just loving each other and hugging each other and buying each other a pint. And I know that's like nothing about spending habits, but I just think it's just sort of like the attitude of people. And it's just really like happy and it brings people together. I found it really, really lovely. So I was dead excited for the Euros. Then we did really, really well in the Euros. And I was like, oh my God, like, this is going to make the World Cup so much better. But then I've only been out for like two games and both of them, one of them was at a work's do, but it was against America or USA. So that was a rubbish game.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. And then the other one was against Wales, which was actually a good game. But even still, it was like a Tuesday night, so you couldn't have exactly gone mad anyway. But
I think it definitely impacts spending like hospitality, doesn't it? I don't know how much it impacts spending in on online purchases.
Like, wow!
Do you think you might be more likely to buy a football shirt? I suppose.
Yeah, I know someone. I know a brand. Not going to say any names. That in the when the Euros were on, they splashed out on like a whole It's Coming Home collection like a few days before the final, and then the clothes didn't come until like a day before, I think it was either the day before or the day after, so like they hardly sold any. But then obviously
and then
afterwards,
lost and no one wanted it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. But I don't know, I think definitely your judgment gets clouded by sort of like the, I can't really think of like enough superlatives to explain it, but like a really, really happy, you know, like vibe of the World Cup, and it just feels like a big community. But are you more rugby man?
Yeah, although I get into the football World Cups, I get into the major tournaments, but yeah, I think it does, I think like the general feel good of it does help people forget about all the bad news, doesn't it? Because there's a lot of bad news at the moment. So I think it helps with that, doesn't it? Which might make you slightly more likely. I mean, obviously we've done loads of like thought leadership and webinars and blogs around like Black Friday and the World Cup and it all being at the same time. From the clients you've worked on, have you seen much difference in this peak? Because this is the first peak where there's been a World Cup, hasn't there? Have you seen much difference or is it materially not made a huge impact?
To my clients, not really. I think because of last year we were coming out of lockdown, the Black Friday like peak results were skewed anyway. So like this year it has been an improvement, but I don't know if that's because of it being a World Cup. I don't know if that's just because like, well, you know, COVID seems like bloody thousands of years ago. It's really, really hard to explain, you know, in this type of conversation, but also to clients, like, how do you explain that you've seen, like, a massive increase, but I haven't done anything, like, I haven't optimised this one ad that's just suddenly spent £1 million, or, do you know what I mean? It's a really strange situation, because it's, like you say, it's never happened before.
I think, from what I've heard, it sounds like Black Friday is pretty successful for a lot of our clients, and I think the difference with this World Cup versus others is that I think the Summer World Cups have a prolonged impact, and I think this one has been an impact during the games, and that's kind of been it.
Yeah.
Because it's not like the game's Saturday tea time, so everyone's down the pub from Saturday lunchtime, sat in the beer garden. I think people just go and watch the game and that's it. So I don't think the impact's been quite as bad. And I remember in the first agency I ever worked in, like we had all these annual targets and they basically forgot there was a World Cup on when they set the annual targets, and we missed all of our targets for a whole month because everyone's activity was that badly affected.
Really?
Our fees were tied to spend and everything just tanked. But that was a summer tournament, and I think summer tournaments are slightly different to the winter in that they're more prolonged, almost like the impact of it's prolonged, whereas I think the impact of these, it's like there's the game and then it's back to normal again almost.
But can you imagine if it was in like the end of October, start of November, we'd have been bloody good for peak with Mr. Alex Coppin, who bloody loved football. No prep would have been done. Jokes, if you listen, Alex, sorry.
he probably only listened to the one he was on, let's be honest.
But it is like an interesting thing to have a look at and to take a deeper dive into. It really, really is. Especially like looking at how other agencies have positioned themselves during this time period as well. I know that like we've been doing a lot of proactive sort of like get Black Friday ready with like football messaging, like metaphorical one pages and stuff, but I haven't seen any other agencies do that. And if it is, it's just sort of like the managing director putting a LinkedIn post like, oh, you know, 1 o'clock, here's me doing a really important spreadsheet, 3 o'clock, football were high. And it just all seems just a bit like I'm a cool boss sort of thing, whereas I feel like we've really put like loads of effort into it, and I think that's you know, it's come through.
You're telling me I've not nailed the cool boss post?
No, I think you have. I think other people are a bit cringe. Like, I don't know. LinkedIn's a funny place for me. I feel like I've got a mix of people. LinkedIn is a funny place.
Yeah. You say that, though. Google did put out like a Black Friday one tied to the football. It was very, very similar to ours. I put it on my LinkedIn and just put great minds think alike, but ours was out first.
Google did.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're accusing Google of copying click-through marketing?
No, I'm not accusing them of copying. I'm just saying great minds think alike.
Right, it was a very
similar theme, but I hasten to add, ours was out first. Were there any noticeable trends this year across clients or businesses that you saw?
Over peak? Or over the World Cup?
Over Black Friday, over peak?
Do you know what? I feel like I'm not being a very, very good marketer here, but no. Not that I've noticed anyway. I think sometimes I feel like I have rose-tinted glasses on because all of my clients are... I've been working with them for, you know, over a year, or they've been with the agency for over a year. So I feel like the social team and the sort of like agency around us has got really, really used to those clients and what they're like and what they don't like. So we're able to sort of like fly under the radar of like missing out on like the negativity and sort of like, you know, anything that could bite us in the bum. But then also I don't want to say we're not making waves because that makes it sound like we're in a negative way, but we're not, you know, we're not straying too far from the crowd, which I think at the moment with, you know, the recession and everything that's happening, it's better to sort of almost play your cards a little bit safer, make sure that you know you're going to get return, and then test in when the country's in a little bit more of a stable state. But
yeah. And I think for most people, what most of our clients, what I've heard is that it was a pretty positive peak periods, even versus like the last couple of years, which have been a bit abnormal. And I was in the office on Black Friday because all the DPM team came in, didn't they? And I was expecting like this mad, stressful day. And it was just so chilled. Like, I mean, obviously testament to all the prep and hard work that had been gone into it, but it was a pretty chill day, wasn't it, Black Friday? Like, everything
really lovely.
Pretty smoothly.
It's my genuinely favourite day of the year when it comes to work anyway, because I know that I'll never have it off. So when it comes to working, I just know that that's the sort of day when you can, and I say it in quotation marks because you can't, but you can put your feet up and just watch all your hard work and everything that you've put into it. Even before like Black Friday prep, when it comes to like January, February, you can see all that start to come into play. And that's, you know, I can only speak from the clients that I work on and that I work on closely with sort of like the social team, but it really, really was, you know, a phenomenal year for results. Really, really enjoyed just sort of like watching all the clients be really happy. And I know that, you know, like within DPM especially, we just had a really, really phenomenal year, and there wasn't a client that had a worse performance or, you know, struggled, because of the World Cup or because of, you know, the way the world at the minute. It's just, it was really, really lovely. And we got to listen to bloody show tunes all day, which made it 10 times better.
You and Abby Crew would drive me around the bend of your singing. But yeah, it's pretty relaxed, wasn't it? It's just people sitting hitting refresh, watching the numbers go up and be like, we've done this much now, we've done that much. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, and how about, obviously, as we keep working our way backwards, there's been strikes, hasn't there? There's been strikes with the rail service, there's been strikes with the postal service. Have you seen that impacting clients? Do you think people are shopping earlier?
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, and the point that I'm making now relates to Black Friday and the World Cup conversation anyway, but we noticed that revenue ROI started to pick up the start of October, and I think it was just to sort of like prep for that November period that's going to be super busy because of peak and because of the World Cup kicking off. And then December, like today, God, I've got to tell you about this. So on my lunch today, I thought, you know what? I need to go and get something from Boots. I'll drive down to Boots. It's only 10 minutes away. It was closed. They've closed the whole bloody shop. So then I had to go into Sainsbury's one. It was quite niche. It was nipple covers, just to tell everyone. I'm wearing a dress today, and I didn't get some. So it was a niche thing. Like, I just didn't think Sainsbury's was going to have them, but Sainsbury did have them. But then I came into, because it was like on my lunch, I came in to meet like the bloody 12 o'clock moms that were like doing the Christmas shopping. Oh my God, it was hell. I hated it. But like, even now, I think all the strikes that have happened, it is sort of relevant and it does sort of relate. Like, I think it's had a massive effect on people's stress levels because they've all just bloody started being, I can't even think of a word for it, just ratty. So they've just started going mad. But
I think, I think the postal strikes in particular is going to bring the end of peak forwards because I wouldn't buy anything online now. The only place I would buy online from is Amazon because I wouldn't trust it to get here. I bought two items. I won't say what they are in case my wife can hear me. On Whisper. The day before Black Friday, one of them turned up today.
Yeah.
The other one is just somewhere. You go and track my parcel, and you go on Evri, which is the new name for Hermes, and they just go, "We've got your parcel." I'm like, any danger of giving it to me, or are you just going to hold on to it forever? Well, so that's nearly a month to deliver. It's ridiculous.
Royal Mail, obviously, they're the main people that have been striking, but because of all of the increased traffic to other mail providers, I think almost every single one of them now is down. Yeah. Like, is not taking any more parcel orders or like delivery orders until the 28th, until like after Christmas and after bank holiday, which I think is crazy. Like, imagine that, like, it's peak period for your business and you physically can't handle any more parcels. Like, it's not embarrassing by any means. It just shows like the state of everything, doesn't it? But mad.
Yeah, it does. It also shows the importance of Royal Mail, doesn't it? Because they stop working and everyone else struggles. And then obviously, like, the rail strikes have had I don't know if you've seen like posts on Twitter and stuff, like the impact it's had on hospitality, particularly in places in like central London, where there's a lot of commuters, a lot of those places that would normally be absolutely packed out on a Thursday lunchtime are just empty because people can't get to London. So yeah, everyone's working from home. So I think it's had a huge impact on hospitality. It's obviously not so bad around here, is it? Because people don't use the trains quite so much. It's not quite so integral as like around Manchester. And I was talking to someone we work with who's in Edinburgh. I was like, you're in the office today. He's like, no chance. Trains aren't running. So
really? I think it's quite sad though, because I know that like if I worked in London or Manchester or somewhere that was like, you know, a key area that you needed to catch by train, I'd be really upset that I couldn't go into the office like before Christmas, because I think it's the loveliest time to go in. Saying that, I didn't go in on Thursday because it was -6 and I just could not get a toe out of bed, and I was like, no, I'm not risking that. It's just too cold, but it is dead sad.
I was in Liv, I was in yesterday hoping to see your face and you weren't there and let me down.
I'm really sorry, but I also am not really sorry because I was warm all day. Just as a FYI, everyone, my mother has only just put the heating on today on the 16th of December, and she hasn't had it on the whole time up until now.
You want to ask what your rent's covering here, Luke?
Yeah, nothing. That's what it's covering. Christmas parties. That's what it's covering. Jay. I don't know. Which, yeah. absolutely freezing. Do you know what it is though? Because so my mum works from home as well. She works downstairs, and we've had loads of work done on the house. People who listen to the pod may remember because I had to work from a car in one episode. But
and you fancied the builder,
and I fancied the builder massively. Yeah. In fact, celebrity crush, get rid of Greg Wallace, sexy Mitch. Let's bring you back. Hashtag bring sexy Mitch back. But no, downstairs he's like triple glazed, so it could be like, you know, sub-zero temperatures, and it would be like really warm and toasty and like Christmas eats. Oh, it's lovely. And as soon as you walk upstairs, it's like an Arctic zone. But because she works down there, she doesn't need to come upstairs, so she doesn't realise how Baltic it is. But I had to give her the sob story yesterday, so she put the heating on. Today, so she put the heating on. But yeah.
Oh dear.
Oh no. Oh no. Have you been to the Christmas market?
What, in Birmingham?
In Birmingham or anywhere?
No, I haven't. The last time I went to one of them, it was
one
like
of them.
You trudged along with the next person's back about 6 inches from your face, and the next person 6 inches behind you. I just thought, this isn't much fun.
Did you take the kiddie winks as well? Or is that
No, this was pre-kids. This was pre-kids, yeah.
Yeah. I cannot imagine taking kids to the Christmas market. It makes me feel on edge thinking about it. Not even that they might get nicked, just like they might get squished.
Get squished, or just, if you just lose hold of your hand for a second, that's it, they're gone, aren't they? So no, I'm not taking the kids there, no chance, no way. And there's been some big news in your sphere, hasn't there? Elon's bought Twitter.
Oh, bloody Elon. I love him. With everything else, I think he's a really, really clever man. But Twitter, he's flushed that down the toilet and it's come up again. Like, it's not in a good way. It's an absolute load of crap.
What impact
I feel like there's new news on this.
Has new news gone? You got some?
Well, I sort of have. So he's on about charging government officials like 10 times more, like making them use a fee to use the platform, which I think's mad.
Sure, they're just using another platform.
Well, yeah, but I think, I don't know, it is quite important for, I don't know. Donald Trump used to be on it all the time, didn't they? Just like preaching different things. But I don't know. But he's got rid of he's make people pay for blue ticks, hasn't he? And then they could just rename themselves into like Pep Guardiola and then post comments.
He did that and then quickly backtracked, didn't he, when everyone just changed the name and had the blue tick. There's people posing as brands as well and posting some relatively offensive things. So yeah, that was quickly backtracked on. Have you seen an impact from like your clients from an advertising point of view? Because I've heard anecdotally of people pulling advertising from it, but are you seeing that? Are you seeing that with your clients?
Yeah, no clients that click through are live on Twitter anymore.
No.
Until Elon gets his shiz sorted out. And I think it's the same in bigger agencies as well, sort of like speaking to people, you know, close to me in the agency, in the industry. It's the same exact story that people are just pulling budget from there. I think mainly it's just because he's like, you know, he's unbanned really horrible words or really horrible accounts. So now I know he let Kanye West back on, and then straight away he posted some like anti-Semitic stuff, which was just disgusting. And I just don't think Elon batted an eyelid until he posted a picture of him like being fat on a boat, and then he banned him again. It just really seems a bit like, it's horrible really that, you know, he's bought it for all that money, and now he's just, you know, it just shows how much money he's got to just mess everything up for you know, for so many people, and laying off like half the business or whatever it was.
That's the bit that I couldn't get my head around. I knew US employment law was very different to UK employment law, but I didn't know you could just be fired without severance or without due cause. The fact that you can just, he's just gone in and laid off 75% of the workforce, it's crazy. Now I know a lot of big organisations kind of get bloated, don't they? Like they get people that are non-essential, shall we say, and they have costs that are non-essential. But you can't think 75%+ of the workforce is non-essential. So you've got to think, surely there's going to be an impact on the quality, an impact on the quality of service as well.
Did you hear about? I know Twitter. This was big news, even for us in social. But Twitter said to all their employees that they've got rid of all their offices, and you don't need to come to. You can work from home full time, because at the end of the day, you've proved throughout lockdown that you don't need to come into the office to produce the highest quality of work. And then as soon as Elon came in, he was like, you can't work from home at all. You've got to be in here from 9 to 5. And if your job's not done, you stay until it is done. And I just think that's just such an old fashioned and quite horrible way to think.
It is, yeah. There's still some people in that camp, isn't there, that you don't trust working from home. There was someone we hired, and they worked for an agency in London, and their CEO called it shirking from home. And I just thought, that's really quite offensive, because I've worked as hard over lockdown as at any other point. So for this assumption that if you're at home, you're just dossing around, it's just a bit offensive, isn't it? And it's a bit old-fashioned. So do you think,
Twitter's, if anything, I'll get more work done at home than I do in the office, because I just chat to everyone in the office.
I know, it isn't it?
No, to be fair, I mean, I don't make a deal of it, but.
But I think that's true for everyone, isn't it? If you look at just pure output, I think everyone gets more done from home, but there's more to work and working in an agency than just your pure output, isn't there?
Exactly.
There's the relationship side, there's the collaboration side, there's the integration side, which is harder if you're remote. So I think having a balance is key, isn't it? Because, I work from home on Wednesday because I had to write the board report, and I knew that if I went into the office, it'd take me twice as long, because just to get distracted, you get interrupted, all that sort of stuff. But then it's important to be there just to talk to people, to understand what's going on, to build connections and whatever. So last question on Twitter, do you think it's going to be less prominent in the future from a paid social point of view?
Yeah, I think unless Elon gets all his ducks in a row and he starts to stop thinking like an old man and start thinking like, he's actually running a growing business, I don't think it'll appear back. Because there's so many different social media platforms now that are introducing themselves, like TikTok. Well, I know TikTok's not just introduced itself, but it's still growing. There's Be Real, all of the, there's loads of new platforms coming out. And soon enough, Twitter's just going to be pushed to the bottom of the pile. And I think he needs to, obviously he's not going to listen to my advice, but he needs to think about what he's doing and bring it back, so it's a place where I want to be and want to spend the money on. Because I think, looking at Facebook's in the exact same position, but people are still spending money on there. People are, aren't shying away from that. So it's just...
It feels like a relatively dangerous place to put your advertising budget, because you could be sandwiched in between the new incarnation of Hitler and Donald Trump or something random, couldn't you? Because they just seem to let all sorts go now. Okay. Should we move on from Twitter and keep going backwards through the year? Cost of living crisis.
No, because it gets even more sad.
It gets worse and worse, doesn't it? Yeah, cost of living crisis next. So it's impacted everyone, hasn't it? I think it's fair to say, from businesses down to households. It's been a tough year. High inflation. Anyone with mortgages that are coming up, it's a pretty scary time, rising bills. How do you think this has impacted marketing?
Oh, very heavily, I think. I mean, taking a look at ad spends year on year and effort into like retainers and stuff and new business, there's been an almost like grand like halt to everything. I know that it's really, really difficult for any business at the moment to find new clients, just because so many clients are at the moment just thinking, we need to just wait for this to pass over, which, good for them, but also bad for agencies. And then client-wise, I think they're just mainly putting all their effort into organic, because if they can do it without paying for it, obviously it's going to be a lot better. But also, the stuff that they have been in paid needs to be a lot more focused. There needs to be a lot more strategy behind it, because you do need to see that, not sort of like, you know, straight away return, but you need to have the return basically spelled out for you, whether it's in like a month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever. But it's definitely changed. Definitely changed. Has it changed how you've like directed the business?
Yeah, definitely. It's had a huge impact. It's a big question, yeah, but it's had a huge impact. Obviously, if you work it through, people have got less money. People are less confident about spending because they've been worried about what's my gas bill going to be in November. People aren't even putting the heating on, for example, as your mother is a prime example of. All of that has a knock-on impact of every business, because there's less people spending because they've got less disposable income and then less confidence to spend what they've got. So we've got all of our clients that are looking to, right, how can we squeeze more from our media budget? How can we get more from less? Where can we cut? You're right, organics, there's a big focus on organic at the moment. If we look at our new business pipeline, it's really heavily weighted towards organic right now, because it's an easier conversation to have, isn't it? We're not asking for 100 grand a month in media spend. It's however much, 10 grand a month for an organic retainer. The squeeze is being felt throughout, and then there's that knocks on to our clients. Then we've seen a really pronounced decision hesitancy. So things that you would normally get signed off in a week or two has been taking 2 or 3 months, because people are just not willing to commit. Things that we would normally sign as a retainer on an ongoing basis, clients would rather sign off as a project, because a project's might be a 3 month period instead of a year's contract. It's lower risk. So we've seen it all over. We've had to be careful, really. It's difficult because we're trying to look after our staff, like we did the cost of living bonus to try and help everybody out and not have them stressing about how much it costs to heat the house. But at the same token, we're seeing our clients getting more nervous, less willing to commit. It's been challenging. And when you look at paid, like, when times are good, you can afford to be a little bit more wasteful, can't you, with your paid media?
Exactly.
Now, there's got to be scrutiny on every single penny being spent. So,
exactly.
I feel like everyone's jobs in paid's probably notched up a level in terms of difficulty, because, there's scrutiny on every penny being spent to squeeze margin as hard as possible, cut as much waste as you physically can. When times are good, it's a little bit easier, isn't it? You just kind of ride the crest of the wave, whereas right now it needs real skillful management to get the most out of every little bit of investment.
Especially, to be fair, and obviously I only can see what's been doing in, like, what's been done in DPM and specifically on with social, but there's a lot of platforms like Facebook and Google who have tried to introduce a simplified like account strategy or like campaign strategy that helps not only the marketers but also the results. So like obviously PMAX, I know that I'm making it sound a lot more simple than it is, and I'm sure that if anyone from BBC was here, they'd probably tell them to shut up. But like, from what I know, it's like an automated way to it's an automated way to get good sales and a good ROAS and a good like level of revenue coming through that's always going to be quite solid. Whereas with like non-brand and brand, God, I'm really pretending to know what I'm on about right now. There's so many variables that you've got to take into consideration. But with Facebook, they have just introduced this thing called Advantage Plus Shopping. And it's basically a linear campaign, which is just you put your budget in, you put your dates in, and then you have a broad audience. And the only thing that you can sort of like define it by is like custom audiences. So like if they've visited the website, if they've purchased in the past, if you want them to be a lookalike of that. But other than that, it's still remaining really broad. But I think it's just Facebook's optimization tool within Advantage Plus is a lot more sophisticated. So it just means that businesses that are moving on to Advantage Plus do have that sort of like more opportunity to, you know, put a very, very light amount of spending for quite a high amount of reward. But I think it's only just being rolled out mainstream instead of just being on beta. But you know, it's good to see that platforms are seeing what's happening.
Yeah, I think from the platform side of things, there's been a push for the shift towards automation for a while. It's kind of been on their agenda since long before the start of this year, cost of living crisis and what have you. But I think it's probably helped, hasn't it? It's probably helped adoption and have them land, because yeah, everyone's scrutinising every penny. So anything that potentially offers better rewards, people are going to jump on. Whereas if results are good and we're in times of plenty, you might think, oh, we won't bother trying that. We'll keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah. But
yeah, I think it's probably helped their cause.
Definitely.
And do you think things are going to get better before they get worse? No, worse before they get better? That's the wrong way around, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just going to say no. I bloody hope not. I really hope not. I think, in a way, I am quite... I'm not blissfully unaware, because I know what's happening, but I think it hasn't really affected me all that much. I think I've got, you know, I haven't really got any outgoings. The only thing that I've got to pay for is my car, petrol, like board. But other than that, I don't have kids. I don't have a house to pay for. So for me, I think it's always going to be the same. But I think as a broader conversation, I think it probably will get a little bit worse, especially in January when no one's got any money left. Mm. And it's just going to be really sad. But then overall, hopefully the state of the economy will improve over the next like 6 months, and it might go a little bit back to normal, or at least a little bit down. I think the government should hopefully figure something out, because I don't know what they're going to do to sort it out, but I'm sure that they'll do something.
I don't think they know what they're going to do. That's the problem. But yeah, I think you're right. I think it's going to be a tough next 6 months, I think.
Yeah.
We're already seeing businesses like going to insolvency, aren't we? Big businesses as well. And I think unless people have meticulously planned for this and have got really strong financial performance and, let's face it, sometimes a bit of luck, I think there's going to be a lot of business struggle. Obviously, the flip side of that is those that survive and get through it tend to come out of it better and better off, don't they? Because they might have less competition, they might... and those that invest through these periods, the IPA publish this stat, don't they, that shows that those that invest through times of recession come out of it in a far stronger position than those that don't. Now, obviously, you could cynically say, well, they would say that. but there's obviously empirical evidence to back that up. So, yeah, but I think the start of next year is not going to immediately improve, is it?
No. Definitely not. But I've got to look on the bright side. I don't have a point to make you look on the bright side, but you've just got to look on the bright
You just got
side.
To. You got no
you just got
reason
it.
To make me feel like that, but I've just got to do it. Yeah.
You just got it. I'm trying to think of some reasons, but I can't. And can't.
We'll keep...
Can't.
Let's keep working our way back through the year, because we've got loads to still get through. So government instability, we've had three prime ministers this year, a load of different chancellors, that mini budget that really cocked things up, an up and down pound. Yeah. How do you think that's impacted particularly international businesses?
Good question. How do you feel?
I'm testing your
I'm going to do the old politician's trick. How do you think it's affecting international businesses?
I'm going to test your level of macroeconomic stability here. I think that mini budget that I think the Liz Truss reign was disastrous. The mini budget from Quasi was pretty disastrous. That caused a lot of panic. The pound tanked. Obviously, anyone importing, their costs go up. And that caused a real contraction. Like that, it was like pulling the handbrake on that was. Like the people we were talking to, it just stopped, basically. There was mass panic. It didn't last, but it definitely didn't help in the short term. I mean, I guess the one good thing is that the strength of the pound means investing into the UK is probably more more attractive now than it's ever been. Like we're talking to a brand that that trades in Europe and wants to start trading in the UK, and it's going to be more attractive for them now because the relative cost is lower for them. The you know, even things like the relative cost of buying our services is cheaper because there's a favourable exchange rate. So that's the only kind of slight positive that's come out of all of this. But yeah, that Liz Truss period, the lettuce period, shall we say, was
the lettuce period.
was pretty terrible. And then we had the death of the Queen.
That was
an odd one, wasn't it? I think virtually everyone's never known anything but her as our monarch, have they?
No.
Do you think brands using her death as a way to implement reactive marketing, does it work, or do you just think it's a bit too transparent and obvious and cheap?
I think the best thing that you could have done during that period is just switch off. And not even, like, we're switching off because of the death of the Queen. I just think everyone should have switched off just then, so you could avoid, we're switching off for the Queen, or, you know, we don't care about the Queen, we're not going to switch off, it's business as usual. I think there's so many issues at the moment that have been caused by, well, not issues at the moment, but issues during that period that were caused by brands that didn't switch off, got a lot of backlash because they were thinking, you know what, the whole country's changed, why aren't you sort of like listening to it at all? But then also, you know, there was brands that turned off, but then also just did organic posts saying that this is our queen, you know, may she forever reign and stuff like that. And it all just seems a bit dramatic in my eyes, but that's me as a Gen Z. Am I a Gen Z or am I a millennial?
I think you're a Gen Z, yeah. I always get confused as to who's who and what's what, but yeah. I think you're right, though. I think consumers are getting a lot more savvy to, like, this, like, just virtue signalling in marketing. It's the same. Obviously, we had Jordan on back in the summer, didn't we, talking about pride.
I was just thinking and that,
It's kind of the same, like, changing your logo to a rainbow logo for a week. I think people are... I don't think it works anymore. I think it has a detrimental impact. I think you've either got to do it all the time or not at all. And if it's the only time you've posted any form of pride towards the monarchy or anything like that, I don't know. I just think it's, yeah, I think it's a bit cheap, isn't it?
At the end of the day, like, she was a... Well, I don't know her. She might have been a lovely lady. But, like, she was a figurehead for the country, and I do respect that, but at the end of the day, I haven't shown any loyalty from her since I came out the womb, so I'm not going to start, you know, like, preaching now that I really miss her, because one thing though, I don't like King Charles. I was going to call him Prince Charles then, but
not a fan.
I'm a big Diana stan. No, okay. So watched Diana documentary when I was about 15, and ever since then he's been in my own bad books, so...
Okay.
Definitely.
Well, let's hope he doesn't listen.
Well, if he does, big F you, Mr. King Charles.
We'll wrap this segment by saying I didn't even watch the Queen's funeral, to be honest, but I did enjoy the day off.
No, ditto.
So moving on to back to the summer, we had the heat wave and obviously the Lionesses. The Lionesses brought football home, did what the men couldn't do, beat Germany in the Women's Euros final. Whilst there was a record-breaking heatwave, do you think women's football captured the imagination? Do you think it had an impact on, like, brands and wanting to be associated, or do you think? And has there been any lasting impact of that, or do you think women's football is just back to where it was?
No, I think it's done and it's sad that it's had to. The women had to win the World Cup to get this recognition, but I think it has done so much. Like, Jill Scott, I'm Celeb, won it, smashed it.
Oh, did she? Okay.
Did you not watch I'm Celeb?
Don't watch it, no.
You didn't even know she won?
No.
Well, she won.
I couldn't bear to look at Matt Hancock's face every night.
This is so controversial. I didn't like him in there, but no, I didn't like the fact he was in there, but he was actually quite funny in there.
Oh, no.
I know, but he was quite funny in there. He really, really was. I think because he was like a lizard. He was like a lizard among people that was just sort of like slithering about and doing tasks and then coming back saying, I've won all these stars. And he started, did you not see him singing a cheering?
No. I've watched zero of it, not consumed a minute.
Wow. He was good for TV. That's all I'm saying. But I don't think it was, you know, it made anyone feel sorry for him by any means. But back onto the Lionesses, bloody Matt Hancock taking the limelight again.
No.
All I've seen across social media, and it's really sad over sort of like the men being kicked out of the World Cup is, well, you know, at least we've won one World Cup this year, and it's not discrediting what the blokes have done at all, but I think it's just saying, like, don't be too down because, you know, we have brought it home. It's just not home with, you know, the most watched gender of who play it. And I think, you know, it is important that... I'm really trying to be, like, clever in the way I explain things, and I just can't, so I'm just going to say it as it is. I think it's really good that women are getting the recognition of playing football when they do the exact same job as blokes, and I know there's a lot of people that say, oh, it's a different quality of football, and, you know, I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but it's just good, because they won the World Cup. And
was it World Cup or the Euros?
World Cup? Euros? I don't know.
I think it was the Euros. Regan's written Euros in our notes. There you go.
It was Euros. Sorry about that.
Shows
I'm not being
attention.
A very
You're
good
really
feminist
paying.
Here, am I? Yeah.
Didn't even know what tournament they're in. Terrible.
Oh, I thought it was World Cup, but it obviously wasn't. But, embarrassing. But either way, yeah. Have you seen... did you watch the Women's World Cup? No, freaking hell. Did you watch the Women's Euros?
No, I didn't, to be honest. I watched the final. And I tried to get my daughters to watch it. You know, having...
That's nice.
Having two young girls in the house, but they just weren't interested. And my eldest daughter is like a total... I don't know what the opposite of a feminist is. But I was like, oh, do you want to come and watch...
An anti-feminist.
Watch? Yeah, I was like, do you want to watch the football? It's the England women are playing in the final of the European Championships. And she just went, no, they're not as good as the men, are they? I was like, right, let's have a little chat about equality. Yeah, she's like, yeah, women, she's not remotely interested in women's sports. So, no, that was all I watched, just the final.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, I didn't watch anything but the final.
To be honest, I struggled to care.
Whoa, why? You just told me you get into international football teams and matches, whatever they're called, so why aren't you watching the women's, huh?
I just felt no emotional investment in it, to be honest.
Why?
Don't know. I genuinely don't know, but...
What about now, like, the
if England... I'm not that bothered. I'm also not that bothered about the men, though.
I suppose.
Like, you know, some people, after we lost to France, were being a real sulk. I just turned the telly off. I was like, right, fine.
Do you know one thing that happened that I absolutely love that happened? So we got half a day off when the men were in the Euros final.
We did, yeah.
Was it the day of or the day? It was the Monday because it was on a Sunday, wasn't it?
It was the Monday after the Sunday, yeah.
And nothing had been discussed. And this isn't me, like, calling out you or Debbie or Phil or whatever, but no one had discussed it. And I think... It's just because it hadn't had so much of a buzz around it. And then I remember someone put a message in the group chat that after they'd won saying, can we have half the day tomorrow then? And then obviously we had to have one because it's fair.
Yeah, we had to, yeah. We had to.
That was good.
That was a cheap ploy, wasn't it?
It
couldn't
was
really say no, could we?
Well, good. Really, it's a nice little bag.
Right, from the joy of winning the Euros to the depression of war and the invasion and war in Ukraine. How do you feel that's had an impact?
When it first started, was it in January or February?
I think it's January, February time, yeah. I can't remember exactly when.
I think it shook businesses because it's World War III, really, isn't it? Like... Well,
it's got the potential to be, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got the potential to be.
I remember, like, there was... God, this is a Gen Z thing to say. I remember watching, like, updates on TikTok from this man who was actually living in Ukraine, and he was just telling you, like, this is what's happened now, this is what's happening next, this is about President Zelensky, this is about Putin. Mm. And it was really like, it was a play-by-play of what was happening day to day. But I remember losing sleep over it, because I was like, well, we're going to die then. Like, this is it. Like, this is the end. And then after speaking to, you know, my mum and dad, they were like, it's not right now. Like, don't worry about it. Don't go to sleep. You can't control it. Go to sleep. You can't control it. But the fear that I had, I think Brands had that sort of fear as well. Not that they were going to die, but, like, that it was going to have a massive effect on what they did.
It definitely kick-started all of this, because I think we went into the year with, like, relative confidence, to be honest. And I look at, but obviously we did forecasting, and we had ambitious targets for this year, and we had pretty decent confidence of achieving it. And I think this was the thing that kick-started it all. There was obviously the talk about energy prices and what that was going to do. So that kind of kick-started the cost of living stuff. There was the supply chain stuff. There was Ukraine's one of the biggest exporters of grain, I think it is. So there's obviously talk of there's going to be food shortages and food costs goes through the roof. And I feel like this was like the catalyst for everything that happened this year. Yeah, the first domino that started it. But the other thing that's like really interesting, I think, is the way that, like, you talked about seeing things on TikTok, I did as well, like the way we consumed media about this one. Like, I was watching videos taken by Ukrainian people uploading, you're watching them virtually in real time about, like, what was happening. There was no, you know, even going back to the Gulf War, which you were probably about 5 when it happened, I can't remember. Do you remember that Gulf War?
I don't know what that, that's really
in Iraq.
Horrible for me to know. Maybe.
Yeah, and like even the war in Afghanistan, it's a total shift in the way it's being reported from what the media tells you to just seeing real people post. And it's like, yeah, I think that's the most interesting thing that's come out of it, is the way that, like, social media in particular changes the way you view these things. Because if you watch the news, you get told what they want you to see. Mm. Whereas you can go on TikTok and you can see, like, I mean, my respect for Ukrainian people went through the roof. They're absolute...
Even now.
Mad.
Even now.
Absolute mad bastards, aren't they? Like, you know, lining up, making firebombs and stuff, you know. Yeah. Most other nations, you do just run off, but they're like, right, we'll take you on. But yeah, like the way we consume media is totally different, and the way you learn about these things has changed so much in a relatively short space of time. But yeah, fingers crossed that one ends soon, because it must be horrible, mustn't it? Like, we've got Anastasia in the Crow team who's left Ukraine as part of the war, and you just, like, it's mad if you talk to her, the way people's lives got changed almost overnight.
My auntie has, like, she volunteered for, you know, taking Ukrainian refugees in, and she said it's, you know, one of the proudest things that she's ever done. But then as soon as they came to live with her, she said her whole perspective on life changed within an instant, because, like, she's got two ladies and two children. And they're, you know, they're both absolutely lovely ladies. And their outlook on what they've gone through and how they've sort of, like, overcome it is just, it's inspirational. And she just said, like, it makes me say, oh, I've had a really bad day at work because I had a flat tyre. Like, it just, it makes it all seem so insignificant. And she said, like, having these people who've gone through such a traumatic event in her life has just made her a better person for it. And it just goes to show, like you say, how amazing, you know, people can be in the face of war.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We've got a few other general things to talk about that have happened over the course of the year. The first one is one that I've shown a lot of interest in, which is the rise in AI softwares, ChatGPT, I've been using, DALL-E, Midjourney. Have you dabbled much with AI?
We had a little catch-up within DPMSO where we went through, is it Dreamscope or something, where you, like, design images and you type in a word and then what you want it to look like and then a lighting. And we were saying, like, Paris Hilton with a Furby in the style of Salvador Dali, like, and it does it within an instant. It was mad. But that's really the only thing that I've tangled up with, because I know that if I get into it, I'll be like a little kid who just like types up loads of funny things and like thinks it's really hilarious. I don't know. Have you?
I've been having a bit of a play with ChatGPT, yeah, and I think it's really interesting, and it's another one of these things that people could use really badly, wrongly. I think you've just got to be smart about how you use it. And the next point here is like Google's countermeasure to AI produced work through the helpful content update. So I think there's really good use cases for it. So you can get it to write articles for you. And I put a LinkedIn post up that was written by AI that loads of people interacted with, a few people commented on, really agree with this. And I actually commented underneath straight away to say this is written by AI, just to see what it could do and see if people could kind of spot it. But actually where it's useful is things like I put in, give me 10 ideas for articles to do with sleep. And it gave like 10 ideas. So I think it could be really good for that first point of a creative process. If you've ever got a block of, right, how can I start this? I think it's a good start point. I don't think it'll ever quite replace humans doing a whole process. And if it does, if you just write all your content on your site through AI, I think it's going to be pretty poor. And I think pretty soon Google cotton onto it, and our content team, which Regan's in and he's written those notes, hopefully says content should be written for humans by humans, and he's right. But it could help with that, like writer's block at the start of, right, what ideas could I write about
from an ideation point of view?
Anything beyond that. You've obviously already talked about Performance Max. It's been a pretty big one in the land of Google Ads, hasn't it? I don't know much about it, but I know there's the classic. Some people are just opposed to automation, aren't they? Some people want control. Some people go with it and love it. I think results from people testing it have been relatively pretty positive from what I've heard.
Definitely. I think, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to get on board with it, because it's going to be, I reckon Google are going to find out that that's the way to make them most efficient, you know, cash inflow. That's not a word. Make the most money in the easiest amount of time. So it's just going to become the norm, so you've got to. But it's scary, isn't it?
I feel like resisting these things is just a bit like swimming against the tide, so you might as well embrace it and learn to use it as well as physically possible, because it's going to be the future.
Yeah.
So by not adopting it, by not adapting the way you work to include it, I think you're just harming your future ability. We always talk about TikTok on here, don't we? The continued growth of short video. I mean, this podcast isn't sponsored by TikTok, but it should be. the amount you and I talk about it, but that's been a pretty big growth trend over the course of the year, hasn't it? Instagram's jumped on it with Reels, YouTube Shorts. Do you see that continuing into next year, or do you think people are going to get bored of TikTok?
I think it's going to mutate into so much more. I think,
do you reckon?
We've like BeReal and stuff like that and everything else that's coming in. I think there's so many platforms that are just going to start copying each other and just going to and it's going to be really good for them though, because it's, you know, injecting a little bit of difference into what we sort of like look at every day. But yeah, definitely I think it's only gonna grow and change every day next year as well.
And I don't know, like influencer marketing was already pretty big, wasn't it? But I feel like TikTok's taken that to the next level now. Like the amount of influencer-led marketing that's on that platform
is mad.
Is mad, isn't it? So it feels like TikTok's taken that to the next level. The only thing I think about TikTok from a user perspective is they obviously lengthened the maximum video length, didn't they? I can't remember what it is now.
I think it's 10 minutes.
I thought it's 10 minutes as well. I never watch ones that are... I will never watch a 10-minute video on TikTok.
Do you know what I watch all the time? Like, Emmerdale 1994. Like, I watch Emmerdale episodes from, like, 20 years ago. And I love it. I genuinely love it. And I'm like, oh, my God, what's going to happen next? And then I'll watch, like, 40 minutes of this episode. And then I'll have to watch the next episode. It's disgusting. And I need to stop doing it. But
is 1994 a particular year for any reason? No,
I just came up with that year. What did I watch last? I watched, I think it was from EastEnders a few weeks ago, of Mick and someone have split up and now he's with another woman, and this other woman was singing on karaoke. He's like ex, so he went and sang with her because everyone was taking Mick out. I watched that. It doesn't sound like I know too much about it, but it was quite interesting. I've watched like loads of murders and stuff like that from Corey, but yeah.
Very good. And obviously it's the end of our podcasting year, isn't it? What was your favourite episode?
My favourite episode was, I think, I know it's just because it was the last one. I think it was with Alex. But I'm only saying that because I remember it the most. But other than that, I think it was with Regan. Because halfway through the podcast, when we first started recording it, we realised that I wasn't recording. And Regan was just an absolute angel. And I thought the second podcast was even better that we started recording. But most interesting, I think it's Alro. But I think he's just an enigma.
Alro's is good. Yeah.
Definitely.
Jordan's is interesting. I felt I learned a lot from that one.
Yeah.
It's a topic I probably need to,
get more.
It definitely helped me brush up on my knowledge in that area a little bit. I thought Alex was a great guest. Yeah, got to say that.
Do you know what? I think every single podcast we've had has had, like, there's some times where I'm like, oh God, I don't know anything about that. I'm not going to be able to talk about it. But, like, I don't think there's been one podcast where there's been we've run out of questions at all, and I think all the guests have been amazing.
Agreed.
Who's your fave?
Favourite guest? I mean, I did enjoy Alex's. I did enjoy Al's. I mean, they've all been good. But yeah, I mean, anyone where we get you to sing, and I think you did quite a lot of singing on the last one, so.
Yeah. I think we should sing the theme tune next, yeah.
Well, you told me you're going to sing just the two of us today.
The two of us. We can make it if we try. There you go.
I'm sure we can edit that out. And are we heading back in 2023, do you think? Do you think we're going to be back for more?
For the more podcasts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope so, yeah.
This is my little outlet to just talk rubbish for an hour.
Other than every Tuesday and Thursday.
Where I do it 7
That's
and
your other outlet. And, yeah. Right, what do we expect in 2023? One marketing-related prediction from you, one general prediction, and are you looking forward to it?
One marketing-related prediction, Instagram live shopping. I think there's going to be like QVC shopping on Instagram. I think that's going to take off.
Okay.
One general prediction. This is a fashion prediction because I always think that I can like predict things that are going to come back. Do you know like 80s style workout clothes that are like shorts and like a bodysuit over it? I think they're going to come back in. Just to let you know. Are we looking forward to it? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I'm excited for Christmas. But also excited to get teeth into 2023. What about you? What are your predictions and are you looking forward to it?
Definitely looking forward to it because I think 2023's got to be better than 2022. Like this year's been pretty...
We've been saying for 5 years.
No, but this year's been pretty one thing after another. If you just work backwards through the list, it's been like, right, now let's move on to war. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's gone from bad to worse, hasn't it? So I'm definitely looking forward to it. I think it's going to get better. One marketing-related prediction. I wish I'd read these notes ahead of time. I only got 3/4 of the way through and thought I'll be all right on this one. I think, I don't know, are we going to see Web3 take off?
What is that? What is Web3?
You know, like all virtual reality sort of stuff. I'd hope we would, but my big hope for Web3 is that they make the technology to use it more accessible. Because, you know, like, I think the cheapest headset's a standalone one if you don't have a PS5 or whatever. You can get an Oculus Quest for like still £500. So it's still priced at a point where, for a lot of stuff that is almost like tech demo type software, it's an expensive way to access it. So that's my big hope, is that VR becomes more accessible, mm-hmm. and then the opportunities on Web3 will be really, really interesting and exciting. One general prediction, it's going to be a hope, not a prediction. I hope we have a general election. That's my big hope.
Who do you vote for?
Not to get too political.
Can I ask that? Is that rude?
You can ask. I don't know, is the honest answer. I'm not a staunch supporter of any party other than like anyone but the Tories at the moment, because they're just...
buggered it up.
Just killing us, aren't they? Drawing us down the drain. That's a hope for 2023.
Nice.
Because I think there's got to be enough public demand for it that it can't be ignored. But it almost certainly will be. So that's my 2023 predictions. One final Liv's random Q&A for 2022. I'm nervous now because I normally get the guests answering time to think of my answer.
I know. To be fair, I've just tried to end the pod and the year on a really positive note. So, what is your favourite song ever? And can you sing us a little bit, please?
My favourite song ever?
Yeah.
That's a really difficult question.
Or we can do... No, I'm gonna keep the question.
Can we do your favourite Christmas
song?
That's
what I was going to do,
but... That was a bit easier. Because favourite song ever, like, changes all the time, doesn't it? Well, mildly controversial, because the radios have stopped playing it, haven't they? Because of some slightly seedy undertones, but I really like Baby It's Cold Outside.
Oh. Have they stopped playing it?
Yeah.
Oh. Should we duet right now? Live in the studio. Yeah.
I'm absolutely not singing. That's what I can tell you.
Regan just said no.
Thanks, okay. Regan. What's your favourite Christmas song, then?
So it changes every year. This year it's Live Aid original. But
okay.
I have a constant, which is the same every year, and I constantly listen to it, and it's Destiny's Child, 8 Days of Christmas. Have you heard it?
I think it's one of those ones that when it comes on the Christmas playlist, I skip it.
No, you don't! It's so good. Oh, God, I love it. Mm. On the 8th day of Christmas, my baby came to me. It's so good. You should listen to it.
I know the one you mean. I skip it because I think it's terrible.
Right, well, this year's ended on a low then, because that's my favourite.
This year's ended on a low of a general disagreement. Well, you know, we'll be back next year to disagree more, but that brings us to the end of the episode and the end of the year. We're back in 2023 with a guest in tow, providing you with expert opinion and analysis on all the latest news and subjects in the world of digital marketing. Until then, if you've got some downtime, go through all the past episodes, and if you enjoy them, make sure you leave us a positive review. Have a great Christmas if you're celebrating, and a happy new year.